both of you have laid out very clearly some of the attractiveness of Taiwan for the United States, why the U.S. should deepen engagement economically with Taiwan. But if you were to distill your several pieces of argumentation, what would be the best way for Taiwan to make a case that the United States, at this point, should pay particular attention to Taiwan, why it's so attractive? Because this administration, I think, it's all about, you know, what is X country going to do for me, for the United States?
I think, you know, it plays back into this Indo-Pacific strategy that the Trump administration is pursuing, right? It's, again, as I said earlier, it's not just about, you know, competing with China. It's about also, you know, assuring your alliances, making new trade partners in the Indo-Pacific region. And I think, as Rupert, you know, very eloquently laid out, you know, Taiwan is a big part of U.S. economic interests. If I could, you know, just sort of in addition, follow up to something he said, I knew he was going to bring up capital flow. So I did bring some of those MOEA numbers.
Excellent. Let's go for it.
Bilateral investment across the straits has been decreasing. It's probably fallen by about 50%, at least Taiwanese investment in China over the last 10 years. But even if we look at just last year, so MOEA has the numbers for January through December this year, and if you compare them to just 2017, so the whole year last year, FDI in Latin America is down almost 50%, FDI in Australia is down 90%, FDI in the United States doubled. So they've already invested over $1.6 billion in the U.S. compared to just last year alone. So, you know, Rupert was alluding to, you know, there are companies and they're already strategically realigning their supply chains because of some of the risks that China presents.
Thank you.
Deepa, if I were in charge, I would. These are going to be somewhat over political. things, but I would certainly buy as much U.S. energy as I possibly could. Taiwan is building new LNG terminals. I would expedite that process. Taiwan has energy problems anyway, that we'd need a whole nother panel, another hour to deal with that. So I would certainly be buying as much U.S. energy as Taiwan possibly could. And the other thing I would point to is an issue that we follow closely, and it's related to the IC industry, the United States Trusted Foundry Program. For those of you who don't know what that is, the Trusted Foundry Program is the program that the United States use for the procurement of classified chips for classified programs. We have some foundries here in the United States. They're mostly low-tech, low-end. Honeywell owns most of them. But there is a significant need for high-end investment at least the 300-millimeter, 12-inch level here in the U.S. to partner with the Department of Defense and other agencies in the production of classified chips. Taiwan would be a perfect strategic partner here in the U.S. To handle that. Taiwan has a foundry in the Pacific Northwest, but my counsel would be something more ambitious, maybe the purchase of the Global Foundries foundry that's for sale in the Albany area of New York, and or a completely new build by a Taiwan business. So, a couple of thoughts.
Okay, memo to the U.S. Let me open it up for Q&A, and if you don't mind, before you ask the question, just identify yourself. Coming up here.
Thank you very much. My name is Gong Huiyu with China, the Real News Agency of Hong Kong. My question is for Mr. Rupert. What do you think of the impact of the U.S.-China trade talks on the U.S. arms sales to Taiwan? I still remember in October you said it is possible there will be another round of arms sale to Taiwan by the end of this year. But right now we have 90 days negotiation between U.S. and China.
Yeah.
What do you think of this kind of opportunity?
Thank you.
Opportunity.
Thank you for what I hope will be the only arms sale question. But I don't think there's any issue. I don't think there's any impact at all. It is my view that we are now back to regular order for arms sales. If there's a sale, there's a sale. If there isn't, there isn't. It's not going to be impacted by U.S.-China economic tensions. Thankfully, it shouldn't be either.
Yes.
Leo Bosner, retired federal employee. Question for Mr. Walters on the U.S. political support for Taiwan. It seems to me that historically the Republican Party has been the stronger supporter of Taiwan, at least for the last maybe 20, 30 years or so. With the Democrats now controlling the House, what do you see as the attitude on the Democrat side? Will there be any changes? Do you think with the stuff going on in China, they'll be equally supportive in a bipartisan way, or what?
Yeah, that's a, you know, it's difficult, especially since, you know, the new Congress hasn't even started yet. So, you know, there's, you know, feeling around in the dark a little bit on you know, the future. I think, as you allude to, I think Congress is still very supportive of the U.S.-Taiwan relationship. I mean, last Congress, they were very vocal about their support.
Both sides.
And I think that can continue on to next year. The U.S.-China relationship, this might be a little bit more difficult. You know, certainly Democrats have their own critiques of the U.S.-China relationship. And I think this is where Democrats and Republicans are either going to butt head or work together. Some issues they might agree upon, some issues they might disagree upon. So.
This side?
Dr. Malik, see your sense. So I want to kick it up a step and ask a question more related to geopolitical aspects. The U.S.-Taiwan relationship is generally seen within the prism of the One China policy in the relationship to maintain Sino-U.S. relations. Now, I believe you probably would like a separation of that. What is the possibility of a separate relationship with Taiwan as an independent nation and recognized throughout the world? I mean, realistically speaking, given the trajectory of China in the forthcoming future as well, is it actually possible, or is the U.S.-Taiwan relationship also always going to be subset to the Sino or PRC-U.S. relationship forthcoming future, long term?
Who wants to?
Yes, I'm going to say yes is my answer. What a huge question. I subscribe to the notion that Taiwan is the Republic of China is always already as a functioning state, right? Is already a functioning state, and as a practical matter, we already treat it as a country. Of course, there is nomenclature and a legal apparatus that we wrap around that makes it different. Treating Taiwan as a subset of China is a choice. And you can actually start to see within the U.S. government some shifts in that, because it has served the U.S. poorly in doing so. Because quite reasonably, those people who are responsible for China treat China as the preeminent issue in any question they take. And if they're responsible for Taiwan, they will always defer to China. One of the things I hope we will see more of, and it's happened in one department, and I know it's happening in another, we'll see Taiwan be broken out of that dynamic within the U.S. government, so that when Taiwan is considered as an issue, or an issue impacting U.S.-Taiwan relations is considered, the person making that consideration at the assistant secretary level is not responsible for China. That person at the deputy assistant secretary level is not responsible for China. They're responsible for Taiwan and Southeast Asia, or Taiwan, Japan, and Korea, as opposed to Taiwan and China. It's a small answer. Do I foresee a future? Did you say a future?
When intermediate, long-term, given the way that China's moving forward and rising, and given their increasing power.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't...
So the relationship with the U.S. is it going to change? And if it does change, what are the challenges that you face?
I feel as if what you're inferring is that the only entity getting stronger is China, right? The U.S. is getting stronger. Taiwan's getting stronger. It's not just China getting stronger and gets stronger and stronger and stronger and all of the rest of us falling further and further behind. So I think the ability of the United States to continue to project its interests as they relate to Taiwan is there and will remain. And I also think the reason for continuing to back Taiwan in the relationship actually is shifting away from a legacy parochial issue, as this gentleman pointed out, in respect to the relationship with the Republican Party, more towards what are the realities within the region at the moment, what would it mean to have Taiwan as part of the People's Republic of China from a strategic standpoint, from a military standpoint. What message would we be sending to the rest of the region if we said, We're going to let Taiwan go. The rest of you, don't worry. That's not your fate. I think that would be a strategic disaster for the United States and its interests in the region. So it's a hard question to ask.
I agree with you.
Yeah, we could maybe have a whiskey or a beer over it. Really, really tuck into it, because I love it. Anyway, yeah. Please, Riley,
yes,
go ahead.
Question in the front. Hang on, just mic's coming.
Chair Ching with United Day News Group Taiwan. So some U.S. officials and lawmakers claim that Huawei is a threat to U.S. national security. And as many Taiwanese people and companies use Huawei products, would Taiwan be a concern for the U.S.? And if that's the case, should Taiwan government ban the use of Huawei products? Thank you.
Okay. Come on, one of you takes that easy question.
Well, we just trade off as well.
Yes.
Actually, I believe the government of Taiwan just recently banned the procurement of Huawei and ZTE as well, I think,
yes,
in its government procurements.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the United States has long seen Huawei and ZTE as national security threats. I mean, the complaints alleging to Ms. Meng's, the CFO of Huawei's, arrest over the couple weekends ago, I mean, those were issues from, you know, at least a decade ago, continuing, I think it was like 2009 to 2013. And the implications that they had, obviously, those were for different national security reasons, but national security reasons nonetheless. Putting the Iranian sanction issues aside, there are still both espionage and cybersecurity concerns out there that, you know, not just the United States government, of course, has issues with, but other governments as well. And so, as we've seen over the past couple months, and I think as we're going to see moving forward, you know, there's going to be more of this hesitance and certainly restrictions on who can buy, at least from the government point of view, who can buy these types of technologies.
Any other thoughts? Okay.
Right, so Russell Shaw with the Global Taiwan Institute. Rupert, you left off with a very interesting idea, especially on the submarine cables, and I wanted to give you an opportunity to sort of build off on that a little bit more. I think you pointed out that, you know, there was one submarine cable that was sort of carrying.
That's my understanding, Russell, yeah.
That there's, I believe there's 11 cables that are actually connecting to Taiwan, submarine cables connecting to four cable landing stations in Taiwan, but you may be referencing a specific type of submarine cable. But I certainly think that there is an ample room for cooperation there between the United States and Taiwan in maintaining these critical infrastructure, actually, for the global internet, because of just how much financial flows as well as information that traverses through these submarine cables. And given Taiwan's strategic position in the midpoint of the First Island Chain and in the Western Pacific, I think people don't actually sort of appreciate that sort of geographic and strategic position of Taiwan. And so I wonder, and much of this is all privately managed. So there's certainly a part where Taiwan can play a very important role, and I think should be doing more. Perhaps maybe you can address the part where you see there are other opportunities where the United States and Taiwan can work closer together with regards to the maintenance of these cables, because they often do get disrupted with, you know, a lot of fishing trawlers and inadvertently, but it could also be sabotaged too as well.
Yeah.
And that would not only be disruptive for Taiwan, but it'd be disruptive for regional connectivity as well. So
I think, Russell, in this question that you're raising, and we'll get down into, you know, what cables do what, one bit of this I'd like to point out, and this relates to the Trusted Foundry Program issue as well, is I would like to see, and perhaps it's taking place, I'm fully willing to have some US government officials say, or Taiwan government officials say, no, we're already talking about it. I don't think so, though, that issues like this, or the Trusted Foundry Program, could be elevated maybe into Riley's high-level economic engagement talks, where there is a more significant push into looking at issues that transcend just parochial economic matters but have strategic interests for both countries as well, where they sort of dovetail nicely with one another. This is obviously one of them, right? Connectivity to the outside world. What kind of plan does the Chinese have? Is it going to, from a commercial standpoint, is it enough? What needs to be done? Is it enough just to leave CHT to be in charge of it? Or is this something that the president's office should be dealing with itself? And that CHD should be directed or some other company to address these issues. I would welcome seeing an issue like that or the Trusted Foundry Program elevated into the higher level so that the United States can potentially partner with Taiwan in these areas.
Okay, thank you. We've got like 1 minute, but you did have your hand up earlier, so I'll... I'm sorry about that. Please keep it short.
Okay. Tina Chung with Voice of America China branch. I just want one question about Canada. We're seeing reports showing interest to have a investment protection agreement with Taiwan. Can you talk about it? Is this something new or this is just been under the radar for a while?
I heard about it, but I'm not too familiar with it. Sorry.
I honestly, you know, I only what I read in probably you wrote. So I know what you're talking about. I saw it in my Taiwan papers as well, but I hadn't heard anything about that before this week. Candidly, I'm thrilled. Hopefully, the Chinese won't get to the Canadians in time so that something can be consummated, and that the Canadians can have the courage of their convictions to follow through on it. I would hope for that, but beyond that, I'm afraid I have no insight.
Well, it's always good to end on an unanswered question because it keeps it open for further discussion. But I think we've had two excellent speakers, great tag team, so please join me in thanking them for their outstanding.